Jake Rowe now joins us. Cool. Jake, thank you so much for realizing that we had a little bit of an issue and getting to us this morning.
Yeah, I was sitting there, and I keep my phone on vibrate all the time. If I don't, it sounds like, you know, craziness going on all the time. So but I didn't even hear it buzzing, so that's my fault. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
It is all good, and we'll go ahead and dive right in here. Jake Rowe, Dogs, 247247sports.com. And I just saw a report, and you're a guy that's been going to media days for a few years now. You know, I never went over there when it was at Hoover, but this year they're expecting over 1,000 media members to be at media days. That just seems crazy to me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why they decided to go ahead and move it to Atlanta. I assume they didn't turn anybody away this year. I don't know how many they've turned away in the past, but you know, the Winfrey and you know, going over to Hoover was always a cool trip for me. Birmingham is not on a lot of people's list of greatest cities out there or whatever, but for me, it was always just a cool event, you know, just to kind of hang out there in the hotel in that mall area and you know, kind of do the 48-hour thing was what it usually was for whenever I went to had a chance to go. It may go right back next year, I'm not sure, but you know, it's pretty cool to have it an hour down the road. And you know, Kirby, I think, is going to be first up on Tuesday morning, knock that thing out and kind of see what Georgia's got going on there, all the news and notes that it's going to hold everybody over to the start of fall camp, which is going to be on or around August 1st. So, you know, it's coming up on us fast. I mean, it's amazing how soon it feels like, or how recent the Rose Bowl and the national championship game feel at this point. It seems like that was just a few weeks ago. And now we're just a few weeks away from getting this thing going one more time.
And, Jake, I feel like it probably was going to be a small chance anyway that Jake Fromm was going to be going to SEC Media Days to talk as only a true sophomore. But with the injury on the lake there, I would assume that is a 0% chance of happening now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think that he was going to go. I'm like you. I don't think he was going to go anyway. I think you're looking at probably, you know, if you got a forecast, I think you're probably looking at Lamont Gilliard, who's kind of the, you know, you always want to send your fifth-year senior center. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anybody
Absolutely.
Wouldn't. Then you've got, you know, Terry Godwin, senior wideout, team's second leading receiver for three straight years. I think he'll probably end up going. And then you look on the defensive side. You know, I think that there are a few guys that could fit there, but Jonathan Ledbetter seems to be the one that would probably get the nod. I could also see a situation where maybe they send DeAndre Baker, maybe they send J.R. Reed. J.R. Reed's the guy we talk to frequently, after practice and things. So that's another one to consider. But, yeah, I don't think Jake Fromm was going to go regardless. I think it was going to be Lamont Gilliard and Terry Godwin from the offensive side.
Yeah, and we'll find all that out a little bit later today in terms of who is going, hopefully sooner rather than later. But I will say also that I thought maybe Rodrigo Blankenship might be a candidate.
You know, he may be. That's a good point. You know, he's a fourth-year player in his own right going into his fourth year and All-American candidate. He's a lot of fun. You know, teams seem to really like to send their specialists to these things, you know, because sometimes I think the coaches, you know, I know that, you know, you hear all these things about how, hey, the coach doesn't even know the punter's name, doesn't even know the kicker's name. Well, that's not true at the college level where so many of these coaches preach special teams and from what Rodrigo's done for Georgia, you know, not just last season, but the season before. I mean, it shocked me how many people there were out there, Facebook, you know, Dogs 247, you know, message board, you know, all of those things that were almost rooting against him. They wanted David Marvin to come in and win the job. And I think a lot of it had to do with the open letter situation with his dad and all that stuff. I think some folks had some fatigue going on there. But you know, Rodrigo stabilized the kicking position for Georgia as a redshirt freshman. He took it to another level last year. And then, you know, I think Georgia fans have a lot to be excited about what this kid can do for them for the next couple years. He's a difference maker in that spot. The kind of kicker you often see play on championship football teams. He's already helped Georgia win an SEC title. I think he's got a chance to, you know, to come on this year and next year and really make a name for himself and end up playing on Sundays.
Jake, you know, we didn't get to talk to you last week. It was July 4th, so I wanted to get your take on Lake Gate if you will, with Jake Fromm and the injury that he sustained. And it's so funny how freak of an injury it was. Some of the reaction you had where people were saying that, Coach Smart needs to do a better job of making sure his players stay safe and Jake Fromm should stay off the water, with freak accidents happening of getting a fishing lure stuck in his head and having somebody let go of the line that you use to wakeboard, and it comes back, snaps back, hits him on the hand and breaks his hand, or not even, that's even taking it too far, a small fracture in his hand. So it just seems like, you know, the overreaction was so funny, and UGA coming back with a tweet of Kirby with some of the guys on the lake kind of trolling the people that were kind of, I guess, throwing shade at Georgia. And then also Kirby coming out and saying, you know, it's just, what are you going to do? You know, it's just a kid being a kid. So, you know, the only thing that Fromm could have done to avoid that injury is not get on the boat. So it's like people just need to chill out, man. It's July. I know people are trying to get clicks or and whatnot, but at the same time, it's like, all right, let's dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, nobody out there telling Jake Fromm to put his life on hold to put their life on hold. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just not. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And here's the thing, you know, folks are, you know, if anybody wants to make a big deal about a kid getting a fishing lure stuck in his leg, or if they want to make a big deal about a kid, you know, suffering a minor fracture in his hand, you know, you have to think about it like this, all right? Ultimately, there's a reason these were two minor injuries, and they were about the worst thing that could have happened, considering what he was doing. I mean, obviously, you know, if a boater comes out of nowhere and runs into your boat or something like that, then obviously the injuries can get more serious, or if you wreck the boat or something like that. But that's a car, that's anything else. I mean, you don't see those. Ben Cleveland, for example, ran into a deer. You know, talked to his dad about that. He hit a deer with his car, ran off the road a little bit, broke some glass, got some cuts on his face. He's fine. You know, this is life. This is we all have these things happen. And this, you know, my wife got into a car accident, you know, a couple years ago whenever she was pregnant. And luckily, it was a very, you know, minor car accident. But it's, you know, these things are just, you know, they're things that are going to crop up. And the fact that he had such a minor injury was a byproduct of the fact that he was managing his risk. He didn't have anything super serious going on. He wasn't skateboarding. He wasn't on a motorcycle or playing, you know, irresponsibly playing pickup basketball or trying to do something, you know, surfing on reef or something like that. None of that was going on. He was sitting on the back of the boat enjoying himself, having some downtime. Downtime that he's earned. Downtime, I mean, listen, there's nobody that puts more effort into their craft, you know, in college football than Jake Fromm. So I just think that, you know, it's the fan mentality. And listen, fan mentality is the reason I have a job, the reason you have a job. I appreciate all the fans out there, but the fans out there are sitting here thinking, well, Jake Fromm needs to get his, you know, ducks in a row because Justin Fields is getting ready to take that job. But Jake Fromm can't live his life that way. I know a fan thinks Jake Fromm needs to live his life that way, but he can't, because there's, you know, that's the bigger part of all of this, is Jake Fromm's life greater than, you know, fans' expectations of Jake Fromm's football playing career. And that's what it all comes down to. I just think that the folks need to kind of relax a little bit and realize that this is a very minor injury, and it's a very minor injury because he managed his risk to begin with.
And I also thought one thing was funny. I saw a lot of people say, well, pro teams put into contracts about what players can and can't do. And I'm like, well, pro teams also pay their players. So that's another thing all together there that, like, you know, Jake Fromm, these guys, they're not getting paid. You know, I mean, they have, you know, we can dive into all sorts of stuff about scholarships and all that stuff. But bottom line, it's like, what are you going to tell? You can't really tell a kid what to do with his free time other than, you know, hope that they will. What's the word I'm looking for? Hope that they will use good judgment. And it's funny, too, because a lot of people freaked out about Jake Fromm, but then Justin Fields on his Instagram story is posting a video of him and DeAndre Swift lighting like 11 mortar tubes with blow torches. And I'm like, well, that's way more dangerous than anything Jake Fromm was doing.
But because the minor, you know, the chance of getting hurt didn't come to fruition, you know, he's exempt at that point. That's just kind of how it works. You know, it only matters if it happens. And listen, if you don't think pro players are out there going fishing, I mean, I know a guy, good friends with a guy who works out on Lake Lanier as a guide, and he had several Falcons players that would come out and bass fish with him regularly. You know, any one of those guys could have tried to set a hook, missed, and had the same thing happen that Jake Fromm happened. These guys get out on boats in the summer. They go swimming. They go have a good time. They surf. They get out and they do active things. These guys are where they are because they're not couch potato types who like to sit around and do nothing. They like to get out. They like to have fun. They like to seek thrill. They like to do those things. And that's just the way they are. That's the way they're wired. I mean, very few of them are going to hole up and watch film and play video games and live a sedentary lifestyle whenever they have a chance to get out and have some fun.
Last but not least, Jake, before we let you go, Jake Road Dogs, 247247sports.com. Another thing we didn't get to ask you about was the Lincoln Riley comments. Some people say much ado about nothing. Some people say maybe a little bit of sour grapes from Riley. I will say this. I thought it was funny that, you know, once you break down the whole statement that he made in that Danny Cannella interview, I found it funny the only two teams he mentions by name were Ohio State, a team he beat at their place, and Georgia, the most recent team he lost to. So by mentioning those two teams, it sort of just maybe to me seemed a little bit petty because he talks about Ohio State and people not being able to move the ball on them. Then he talks about Georgia in terms of that, you know, not being a top five defense or whatever. And maybe what he said had some truth to it. But again, it also maybe to some and even to me a little bit just because of the two teams he seemed to mention there had ties directly to his season last year. So people were like, well, he wasn't singling out anyone. It was like, why did he pick those two teams? Why couldn't he have picked any other team? So, you know, to me, it just seemed like maybe a little bit of pettiness there. And particularly from what I had heard from him not being too happy about the Davin Bellamy comments directed towards Baker Mayfield and maybe not being super happy about Kirby's exuberant reaction to that win.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. And I kind of take the other side of it because, I mean, who else is he going to speak about? He's got to speak about the teams he's played, the teams he studied, the teams that presented the challenge for him, and the teams that he's got evidence to have played well against. I mean, listen, if you want to understand the whole Big 12 versus SEC argument, you look at that one ball game because there were two stories told in that game. Yes, the Big 12 can absolutely light up an SEC defense and a good SEC defense and an SEC defense that's set up to stop the spread. But the SEC is also talented enough on defense, look at the second half, to shut down or to very much limit a Big 12 offense. And so that's just how it is. I mean, the truth, as always, as almost always, it's not always, but most of the time, is somewhere in between. And, I mean, I don't think Lincoln Riley was stepping outside of anything or talking any trash or taking any shots at anybody. I think he's got immense respect for Georgia. I mean, you have to when a team beats you like that. And Davin Bellamy's comments didn't beat Oklahoma that day. Kirby Smart's exuberant response didn't beat Oklahoma that day. Georgia making an adjustment in the second half and Baker Mayfield in the second half turnover, their inability to protect the quarterback in the second half. I mean, listen, if Georgia doesn't fumble the football and let Oklahoma back in that game, Georgia kind of dominates that game. So, you know, they put 41 offensive points up on Georgia. They should be proud of that because that's a heck of a performance against a heck of a defense. But you know, I think the truth is somewhere there in the middle. You know, you start looking at these Big 12 offenses. I don't think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are averaging over 40 points per game if they're in the SEC. And I don't think Georgia's giving up in the teens per points per game if they're in the Big 12. And that's just kind of where, you know, these two things mesh. And ultimately, I think that, you know, it's just kind of a sign of where our industry has gone in terms of the media industry, that such a big deal was made of that because I don't think he took a shot. Now, I mean, you know, was he trying to use some teams and use some examples to make his point that maybe offended some folks? Okay, sure. I don't know why anybody would ever get offended about sports and games, but they do, and that blows my mind. But ultimately, I just think he was trying to pump up his conference and show that, hey, they play a lot of really good offense out there and that the Oklahoma team went in and did a really good job against a really good Georgia team. But I do have one point I want to make here, and it's the fact that Oklahoma has more offensive talent than the rest of the Big 12. As much as Lincoln Riley wants to pump up the Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 didn't have a star quarterback, a star tight end, two or three star receivers, and a ridiculous offensive line. And not to mention maybe the best running back Georgia faced all year last year in Anderson. So, you know, they had a ridiculous amount of offensive talent, and I don't think the rest of the Big 12 would do that to Georgia or another great SEC defense.
I made that same point the other day. It's like, well, Oklahoma is clearly the best offense in the Big 12. I mean, you look at some of these other schools out in the Big 12, you know, your Baylors, your Kansases. look, I know that the SEC's got some bad teams. I don't think they have a Kansas. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where you have to kind of take those comments with a grain of salt and put a little more context to them. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. I will see you next Tuesday over at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days, man.
All right, man. See you then, Sam.
All right. That was our man, Jake Rowe. Dogs 247, 247sports.com.